Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the awesome, great state of Pennsylvania. And we want to do a part four, and I think this will be our final part on this series, although there's never a time we'll probably ever end talking about healing, because healing is part of the covenant that God has for his children. But for as this series goes, we want to probably wrap this up here with part four of God's will to heal. And so we want to start out with some basic scriptures that we've talked about before. And if you haven't listened to any of our previous broadcasts, there is a two-part series early on that we did on God's covenant to heal. And so we recommend people listening to that as well. That'd be a blessing to them. Laid some foundation work as far as the, scriptures on the covenant of healing. So before we get into this in more depth, as my custom is to introduce my beautiful, wonderful new bride, my sweetheart, the love of my life, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. Wow, what an introduction. And it's not even my birthday. Praise God. We bless you. And we thank God once again for the opportunity to be able to share the word of God with you. When my husband speaks about that covenant, it's so good, first of all, to know that, yes, we are in a covenant with the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, and that he has great benefits that are included in that covenant. And we want to know what those benefits are, and healing is definitely one of them. So praise God for God's love, for his truth, and let's listen with our heart as well.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. That's beautiful. And I want to take my first text to Luke chapter 4, which we went over before, but I think it's good to hear it again. And where Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And this is our foundation scripture on this series because of the fact that Jesus started his public ministry with this passage of scripture.
Amen.
He introduced himself to the world as being the one sent from God. You know, as we know, looking back on it 2,000 years ago, the one who was to come to take away the sin of the world. Amen. But he started out with this, "I'm anointed because God has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, set people free and deliver them from their bondages and struggles." And of course, many people were looking for a deliverer to come and set them free from the oppression of Rome under the Roman occupation, and looked to him to be some type of military leader that was going to raise up a revolt against Rome. But he didn't come for that purpose, at least not at this time, at that time.
True.
You know, because it talks about him being the lion and the lamb. And the time is going to come when the lion's going to come out.
Amen.
You know.
Praise
and
God.
He's going to set things straight, and right every wrong, as C.C. Winans says in her song that you love so much. You know, it's a beautiful song.
Come, Jesus, come.
You know, he's going to right every wrong at some point in time in the future. But right now, what he's here for is to bring us into a relationship with him and also show us that he has a covenant for his people that includes healing and deliverance and wholeness and soundness. And as you so eloquently put it, at the beginning of this year, during the teaching at church you did on shalom, which is peace,
Amen.
The peace of God. And God came to give us peace. Jesus even says that. I think in John chapter 14, he said, the peace that he gives is not as the world gives, right?
That's right?
It's a peace that will resonate in our heart, no matter what the circumstances are around us in the world. So we can have that peace. And that's also part of God's covenant, is he wants us to be well, whole in every area of our life, mentally, emotionally, and physically, in every area.
That's right.
Not just healing our bodies of sickness or disease, although that is included. And so we
I just want to
go ahead,
jump
sweetheart.
In and just say something quickly. That's so beautiful what you're saying, because God is so good. And it's just really quickly just reminding our listeners, I know they know, as you're saying, that God wants us to have peace. And it's good to just reiterate that so that it echoes in our hearts and our spirit every day, every moment. You know, we are worshiping the one and only true God, who is powerful, but he is also good. And he does want us to be well and have peace. But one thing is for him to want to or desire good things for us. Another thing is that he actually becomes part of seeing that happen, walking us through it, making provision. I can have a desire for you to be well, but maybe I'm not doing anything specifically to help you reach that goal. But God is so different. God not only wants us to be well, he is personally committed to see us reach that goal. And that's wonderful.
It is. It is. God has many more things in store for us than we even realize. We're told that, you know, that now we're speaking about that. I'm going to just follow where I feel the Lord's wanting me to go right now. With that is in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It could be 2 Corinthians, but we'll get there here in just a moment. And, you know, this is a sign that I don't know everything in the Bible all the time. You know, I know a lot of scriptures, but there are some things I have to look up and be reminded of, you know. And thank God we have Bibles and Amen. Bible programs. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man,
Amen.
The things which God has prepared for those who love him. Just think about that. In all of our imagination, it says here clearly that there are things that's not even entered into our heart, the things we have not seen or even heard, nor has entered into our heart the things that God has prepared for them. Now, that's beautiful just in itself, what's said there. But yet, there's an interesting addition to that that Paul gives in the next verse. He says here, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And, you know, it goes on in that vein. But the point is this, is that the things that God has for us, they're for us to learn and discover.
Amen.
He wants us to learn about those things. And some people listening to this broadcast have never heard about the covenant of healing before, that healing is part of the covenant. It's not just salvation, although obviously salvation, being born again, going to heaven, being saved from our sins, is hands down the most important thing of all. And it's the greatest a blessing that we'll ever receive from God,
Amen.
Is to be saved from our sins, and Jesus paid a heavy penalty for that. But a lot of people may not know, and I know people don't know, because I've been teaching the word for more than 30 years, and just as you have, sweetheart, there are people who don't know things that belong to them. And you know, it's just like anything else. If you're a citizen of a country and yet you don't know the rights that you have, as you talk about different access to different grants and different things like that the government provides, then it doesn't no use for you, because you don't know how to access it, because you don't even know it exists.
That's right.
And so healing is one of those things as well. And we're going to quickly go on this because we want to get to some other points, but I want to make this point here that healing, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, in every realm, it is something God has provided in the covenant where Jesus died on the cross for. And we can see this in the scripture in Isaiah. We'll go back to Isaiah 53, where it says here in verse 4. This is a prophecy hundreds of years, some say 600 to 800 years prior to Jesus' death on the cross, or even his birth. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted," meaning that God put this all on him. But it says, no, this is not the case, really is what it's saying. "But he was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, as I said, you know, times before, that some people will say, well, that's just talking about spiritual healing, a restoration of our spirit man, our life being restored back to God, as, you know, after the fall of Adam in the garden. But let me go over here to Matthew as he quotes this scripture in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verse 16 says, when evening had come, they brought to him, to Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which is what we just read in Isaiah 53, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, interestingly, Matthew uses the word infirmities and sicknesses. But if you go back to Isaiah, and I'm reading from the New King James Translation, which is very similar to the original King James, except it's a little more modern in some of the terminology. It says that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And it seems like there's a conflict there. But actually, it's not. Because when you look at the original Hebrew of the word griefs and sorrows, it's exactly what Matthew says. It's pains and sicknesses and diseases.
Wow, that's so good to know that.
You know, but a pain, a sickness and disease would be a sorrow and a grief.
Right.
You know, especially if it's severe.
Absolutely.
You know, so interestingly, for some reason, I don't know why, the King James translators, which was a panel, I think, of 50 scholars that King James of England had appointed for this task, because people were wanting a Bible in the modern day translation of English, you know. And at the time prior to that, basically any translation that was not authorized by the kingdom, whether it was England or France or whoever, Germany, they were not allowed. They were considered to be illegal. You know, Martin Luther, one of the reformers, when he nailed the 95 Theses up on the door of the church in Wittenberg in Germany, he was called on the carpet by the Roman Catholic Church. And because many of them were making translations of the Bible into their common language, into like in he did within in German. And it's like, no, this is heresy. Mm. You're not allowed to translate it without approval of the king. And many of them were actually executed for stuff like that if they didn't recant and quit what they were doing. You know, oftentimes they gave them a chance to recant. They'd call them in and question them, but, you know, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they just executed some of these people. So a lot of people today just don't realize the history we have with our English translation or modern translation. Is you got the Spanish Bible or any
That's
others,
right.
The freedom that we've had because of our the reformers
right.
back, you know, several hundred years ago, were willing to pay that price to bring these translations to us. Now, some of the reasons why that happened is because obviously the Roman Catholic Church wanted to control and have a monopoly on the Bible. So mm-hmm. they had it translated from the original text, which the Old Testament was primarily written in Hebrew. And the New Testament was probably written in Greek, but they translated into Latin. And only who knew Latin? Only the scholars, only those who were authorized by the church to be able to teach it. They had control over it, and they feel the people can't read a translation. They can't read it and understand it. We need to tell them what it says. And of course, it got to be a little more diabolical than that, where it became a tool, a use of manipulation.
Right.
Now, we're not going to go into further depth on that matter.
No, that's right.
But
there was such a high price for us to even hold the Bible today, right? As you were saying, a lot of people have paid price even with their life. And now, with that being said, imagine the Lord Jesus paid a very high price, his own life, for us to have this revelation of God, because the Bible is a revelation of who God is, his thoughts, his heart, his plan, his salvation. And Jesus Christ paid with his life so that today we can know what the Word of God is.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sweetheart. And, you know, getting back to why we got on that tangent there for a moment, you know, some historical points that may be a benefit to somebody, mm-hmm. is what we see here where it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, which is more accurately translated as sicknesses and diseases. And I did a research on that, you know, looking at the original Hebrew and the use of the word that they translated. And more oftentimes it was translated as pains and sickness, diseases in other places in the Old Testament. Because you can look at a word in the Hebrew and see, where is that word used? That's so great about the Strong's Concordance, you know, even with the Bibles. Electronically, you can look up that reference number of that word and see how many times was that word used in the Old Testament or in the New Testament where a word is used. How many times is that Greek word used in the New Testament, and when was it changed to be a different word? Mm. And so that's something, you know, for you guys who like to look deeper into things, word studies, that would be a great benefit to get a Bible, a Strong's Concordance, or even one that's electronic on your computer. And it's a great resource and tool. So with that being said, Matthew says clearly that when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Now, this is another little tangent I'm going to go on for just a moment here. That word demon-possessed mm-hmm. is actually the word demonized, which is better translated one who's oppressed of the devil.
Okay.
Because they weren't necessarily all possessed
right.
of the devil.
But what's the difference for somebody who might not understand what the difference is?
Okay, so that's a good point. Because to be demon-possessed, you know, and of course there are different levels of possession.
Sure.
But one who's fully possessed is one who's been taken completely over by the devil. Mm-hmm. And the devil has complete control of their facilities, you
wow.
know, of their mind,
right.
their thoughts and everything. Mm-hmm. And just like the demoniac Gadarenes, that Jesus came, he was completely taken
right.
over, and he had no control of himself.
Hmm.
You know, Jesus had to deliver him,
right.
set him free. But if you get some other people who might have been demonized, being, like I said, oppressed of the devil, were the woman who was bent over double for 18 years, you know, and the Pharisees gave Jesus a lot of flack about healing on the Sabbath because they were very religious, you know, in their way of interpreting the law. He said, ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years, should she not be freed from this oppression or this affliction? He called that oppression she had a work of Satan. He said that Satan has bound low these 18 years. He didn't say she was possessed.
Possessed, right.
She just had a back condition. Maybe today somebody might call, I don't know, scoliosis of the spine or something of that nature, where it was completely inhibiting her ability to live a normal life.
Right.
And the same with some other conditions where Jesus delivered somebody of blindness. Doesn't mean they were possessed of the devil, walking around like a raving mad lunatic. You know, they were simply maybe just blind. And he casts out a spirit of blindness or deafness. There's many kinds of spirits that can afflict people with sickness and disease and different things of that nature, and yet they're not possessed of the devil. So when Matthew says here, you know, that God had come to set the people free, you know, many who were demon-possessed, he didn't say demon-possessed. He said demonized under the oppression of the devil. Because some of them were sicknesses and diseases that they were freed from. And we know this also when we read the book of Acts, the different types of things that they were set free from. Paralytics, people who were oppressed with leprosy. It could have been a sickness and disease, or it could have been a sickness and disease caused by a spirit. So moving on from that, it says, he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which spoken by Isaiah the prophet, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So we're talking about things that are happening in the natural realm,
mm-hmm.
in the spirit, the soul, and the body. Not removing sin from them. Because this is something that I see as a big argument between those who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit and those who are debating for the gifts of the Spirit. It's what we call today a modern day continuationist, they call them. You know, they would call me a continuationist, one who believes that the gifts of the Spirit continued on today, as they did from the first century. And those who don't believe in that would be considered cessationist, means to cease, that the gifts ceased. You know, and so why is this important? It's important because cessationists believe that, yes, Jesus healed the sick, who were physically sick, who had physical infirmities, whether of the soul, emotional, or physical, but those things ceased. That wasn't his main mission anymore after he died on the cross. His main mission was to save them from their sins. So all they see now healing related to is the healing of the spirit, man. You're being restored back to God. But technically, that's not a healing in a sense. You know, that's not what he's talking about here, coming to heal people. And it's important to make that point, because if you have doubt in your mind that God wants to heal you physically, in your mind, your emotions, or anything, because you may know somebody who's have mental problems, and maybe they're in a psychiatric ward, or maybe they're going back and forth from that. They can't hold down a job. I know a minister talking about how there was a guy who came in this healing line, and he came for prayer for his mind because he was unable to hold a job for the last 6 months. Mm. And he was having problems. They were giving him tranquilizers to be able to, he couldn't sleep at night, you know, and Bill couldn't concentrate and all that stuff. And they said he was on the verge of being committed to a psychiatric facility for treatment. But when Brother Hagin laid hands on him, prayed, the gifts of the Spirit came into operation, and he saw a spirit with his arm hold around the man's head, like in a headlock.
Wow.
Like the size of a little monkey. So, we haven't got much in depth yet here in our podcast about the gifts of the Spirit. But one of the gifts of the Spirit is called discerning of spirits. So Brother Hagin was able to discern in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit's leading, to see this spirit oppressing this man's mind, that he was literally oppressing him, had a lock on that man's mind. And when he commanded that spirit to leave him, the man was restored to normal. Mm-hmm. He could sleep normally at night. He could work. He can do everything he needed to do. And so it's important to know that healing and deliverance, as we talked about in Luke chapter 4, that when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to open up prison doors, and to open up blind eyes. These are not just spiritual things. These are also physical things that God wants to set people free Amen. From and restore them back to their normal original condition, what we were supposed to have in the garden before Adam and Eve mm-hmm. sinned. You want to add something to that, sweet?
That's true. That's true. Well, you know, I'm sure that our listeners are being ministered and appreciate so much what you're sharing, what the Holy Spirit has put in your heart to share, because it's a sad thing to walk through life sometimes with so many questions, with not understanding many things. But as you are teaching and you reiterate, it's all in the Word. And I think I mentioned that before the other day. There's nothing that we go through or will encounter that the answer is not in the Word. And that's why it's so important for us to learn the Word of God. It's a good thing to know, first of all, that we are in this covenant, and that there are things in the covenant that we need to know that belong to us, that belong to us. When you were mentioning that, what came to mind, I think a lot of people may not know this. I know there's a little tangent, but there is actually a website, and it's from the U.S. Treasury, and it's called, I think, Unclaimed Funds or Treasures. And I don't remember how I came across, and I said, let me just find out if this is true. And they actually gave you the opportunity to put your name in, and I think like your previous address or something. And guess what? The U.S. Department of Treasury will tell you if there are unclaimed funds that you have that are in your name and you haven't claimed them. And guess what? I had four.
Wow.
I had four unclaimed funds Isn't that amazing? So in the natural, how excited I was. Mind you, it wasn't a lot. One was like AT&T, like, you know, $4. Actually, I had one for $100.
Well, we're going out to dinner then soon.
But listen, they were mine. They were mine, right? They belonged to me. And I did not know until that opportunity came, until the knowledge came that there was actually an opportunity for me to go and find out if there was something out there that belonged to me that I had not claimed. And bam, I got it. So can you imagine now bringing this to the spiritual truth? Unclaimed benefits in the covenant. This is a big bam.
Yes, yes. And I guess that joke didn't go over too well about this going out to dinner here.
You were I just ignored that one.
You were just making your point here. So, yeah, I'm going to remember that next time you pull one of them, the jokes out of the hat. Anyway, so, we want people to understand that there are things that may belong to you that you don't know about.
Yeah.
And the deeper you get into your relationship with the Lord will also be something that should indicate that you're getting deeper into the knowledge of the Word. Because we talked about this before, about you can't really have a deeper relationship with God without having a deeper knowledge of His Word, because He and His Word are one.
Amen.
And you get to know Him through the Word. It ain't like an everyday relationship you have with other people that you just call them on the phone and wait for them to call you back or come over to sit down in the living room and we're going to have a chat. You get to know God through His Word. Now, that's not saying that God can't sometimes appear in visions and whatever, but that's not His primary way of operating in relationship. He operates through His Word.
Amen.
And the more we know His Word, the more we know Him. So having all that to say this, that there's a lot more to be said on this subject, you know, in terms of, you know, different things that we need to know in order to be obtain our healing. You know, we start with the premise of the covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we often talk about that, I think, in every broadcast. It's important to lay that as a foundation and to mention that, because there may be people listening who don't have that relationship with the Lord. And these are covenant benefits for those who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, so if you're outside of that covenant, you don't have a right to these things. Just like anyone from outside the United States, they don't have access to the benefits of being a U.S. citizen until
That's
they
true.
Become a citizen.
Right.
And so with that being said, is we will probably talk more about this in some other series about the gifts of the Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and of course how this can affect, you know, someone's life in terms of being able to access the benefits that God has for them in healing. And so we're basically going to, in this specific series here, God's Will to Heal, by saying yes. We want to reiterate the point that we started with, that it is absolutely God's will to heal. He wants you to be whole and well, but He also wants you first and foremost to have that relationship with Him, to be born again. So here's where I will turn it over to my sweetheart again, as she is so good at, you know, this part of our broadcast is leading people and to understand how they can have a relationship with the Lord.
Well, the Word of God tells us and teaches us that God has a plan for us. You know, not only is God your creator, certainly hope you know that for sure, that God created you, but this is for those people that still don't have a relationship with Jesus. You need to know, of course, that God created you, and not only created you to just leave you here on your own at whatever luck comes your way, but He has a plan for you so that you can know who He is. He not only is your creator, but also wants to be your savior, not only your savior, but also your Lord. But the Word of God says that you and I were born separated from the Lord because of the initial sin of Adam and Eve. It's not what God wanted, but that's how it turned out. Of course, He already knew it was going to happen because He knows all things. So what does He do? Does He leave us on our own and just forget about us in our unfortunate, let's say, future without Him? No, He makes a plan. He makes a plan, a perfect plan, a plan that cannot fail. And the plan is that Jesus came to pay for our sins. You see, because the pay of sin is death. So because we have sin, we have to die. Not just die for a while, forever. And what does Jesus do? He takes the payment of that sin upon himself. He pays for it with his life. So that you and I, all we have to do is just believe what he did. That's amazing. That's sometimes people say that's too easy to be true. Well, it's easy for us on our end. We just have to do the believing part. But it wasn't easy for him. He paid a very high price in order to give us this free gift. So it is beautiful for you and I to consider and truly understand what Jesus did, just because he loves you. So that if you believe and you confess that Jesus is your Savior, he will forgive your sins, and in turn, he will give you his justice and his righteousness and eternal life. And guess what? You will be with the Lord forever, and the Holy Spirit will abide in you here as you walk the earth all the days of your life, and help you know the Lord and also walk with the Lord. What an amazing gift. But before we say goodbye, I also want to let our listeners know that yesterday we were celebrating that my husband, oh, there he goes, all shy. My husband turned 61 years old, and I cannot pass up the opportunity to thank God publicly for your life, Amod. You are an amazing man of God. Your teachings, your passion for the Lord and the Word has truly inspired and enriched us. We admire you. I know I do. Respect you, and I so look forward to many, many, many more years in good health and in continued passion filled with the Holy Spirit, so that all of us may grow as the Lord has instructed you to teach us. May the Lord bless you. We love you, and thank you for being you.
Well, thank you so much, sweetheart.
That was, and yes, that was, I will beautiful. Take you out to dinner.
Also, you do agree to this birthday week. Instead of being a birthday, it's a birthday week. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. God bless you, and we'll talk to you the next time.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.